Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday. It is the 6th of December, 2011, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 serving Cochise County out of Douglas. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs, also live streaming for you at kvoi.com. There are also three venues now for 24/7 anytime listening of the program: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We will start the ball rolling this afternoon with Greg Patterson, who writes the highly acclaimed blog, The Expresso Pundit. Greg is this month's blogger beat focus here on the Buckmaster Show. 20 minutes past the hour, it is the Tuesday Money Maker Report. Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. 30 minutes past the hour, Susan Bassford joins us. She is the administrator of the Reed Park Zoo. We'll be talking about the controversy over the zoo's two elephants. Then we close out the show with the conductor and general manager of the Civic Orchestra of Tucson. We encourage you to be part of the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Once a month here on the Buckmaster Show, we like to introduce our listeners to the voice behind the blog in our new Blogger Beat segment. This month, we welcome Greg Patterson, who writes the Expresso Pundit. A former state legislator, Greg is also the former director of the Residential Utility Consumer Office. He's a former chief of staff of the Arizona State Senate. In 2009, the Arizona Capital Times newspaper named Greg one of the 10 most influential Arizonans of the past decade, and the Washington Post recently named his blog the best political blog in Arizona. Greg joins us now. Greg, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. What do you make of this dust-up over the redistricting? Greg, who are the winners and who are the losers out of all of this?
Well, I think the people of Arizona are the losers in this. A little bit of background for your listeners. Every 10 years, the political districts have to be redrawn. They used to be drawn by the legislature. I was in the legislature the last time the legislature drew them. And the districts that we drew were highly competitive. By the end of the decade with our districts, the state senate was tied at 15-15. The independent commission took over in 2000, and by 2010, there were 21 Republicans in the Senate and only 9 Democrats. So the districts that we drew were much more balanced. The voters, however, in their wisdom, chose to make it a, quote, independent commission, which has 2 Republicans, 2 Democrats, and someone who is, at least in theory, an independent and who swears to uphold the Constitution and be fair. Colleen Mathis, who is the independent in this case, has been voting exclusively with the Democrats, or almost exclusively with the Democrats, and even to the point of denying Republicans their own counsel. They had a motion to have Democratic counsel and Republican counsel. The Democrats voted with Mathis to choose their attorney, and then the Democrats, the Republicans, chose their attorney, and Mathis sided with the Democrats to overrule them, and so the Democrats chose the Republican attorney. So, unfortunately, they also picked districts that are completely gerrymandered. Yuma is split in 2. Fountain Hills, Colorado City, and Yuma are in the same district. Pinal County is split 6 ways. Scottsdale is split up. So it's been a disaster. It'll be interesting to see if they can fix it.
Greg Patterson is with us. He writes the Expresso Pundit blog, and it's a very popular blog. Why did you decide to get into blogging? What was that, about 8 years ago?
It was about 8 years ago, and it's cheaper than therapy, I thought. I'm very passionate about a lot of political issues, and I think that there is a need for a forum that is not connected to the mainstream newspapers, and so I started Expresso Pundit. Everybody spells it with an X, by the way. I should have bought both domain names, but Expresso is E-S-P-R-E-S-S-O-P-U-N-D-I-T.com, and so I started it because I thought there was a serious need for alternative coverage of a lot of major events. I thought that the newspapers, especially the Star, had events that were skewed, and I didn't appreciate that, and so I decided to cover events on my own.
I assume you love coffee.
I do. In fact, coffee, for some reason, has a very substantial effect on me, and so I have a tendency to drink a lot of it and then just go completely off on issues and track people down. And so just writing it down saved me a lot of friendships, where instead of calling people all day and saying John Kerry was never in Cambodia, which was the big issue in 2004, I've decided to write it down and see who would listen. Ironically, I thought that the total number of readers would be about 20. Turns out it's somewhere around 20,000.
Fantastic.
And so that goes well for me.
Flat tax, is that going to be an issue in the upcoming legislative session? I know State Senator Paula Aboud from down here has been holding a series of forums on the flat tax.
No, that's not going to be an issue. The Democrats in the legislature would love to say, why don't we take pedicures and stuff like that and tax them? And they've got some things that they consider loopholes, but I don't think that folks realize that if you taxed advertising and legal services and your CPA services and things like that. Now, are you talking about flat tax for including services, or are you talking about flat tax for income? I don't think either one of them would work, but a broader tax on sales that dramatically increased the base and lowered the rate, I think, would be highly unpopular with people.
You have written extensively about the futures of the Arizona Republic and of the Arizona Daily Star, of course, Lee Enterprises, and in fact, on the Expresso Pundit, your current edition, you write about this filing of a prepackaged bankruptcy,
right,
in an effort to refinance about $1 billion of debt that Lee is facing. And of course, Lee is the owner of the Star and their other one of their other big papers, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. What do you make of this, Greg?
Well, this is not cyclical. You can take a look at airlines or Boeing or cruise companies or things like that that can get hit by the business cycle, and what they have is a short-term cash flow problem, and they negotiate with their lenders or they declare bankruptcy to say, hey, you know, when the economy comes back, we'll be able to make our debts, but we can't now, so don't force us into liquidation. And with cyclical industries, bankruptcy can be a tool that can help them stave off what would be a short-term crisis. The newspaper industry is not in that case. Advertising revenue has dropped dramatically as people realize that there are a lot more places to advertise. Readers are abandoning newspapers in droves, and the newspapers have lost a lot of their credibility. And so while Lee stock is down 70% for the year, it's down 98% for the last decade, and the entire capitalization of Lee, which owns the Star and, like you said, owns other large papers as well, is only $23 million. And so it is a true bankruptcy that will be difficult for them to emerge from, because they're not going to be able to pay off their debts, and they're not going to figure out a way out of this. Their business model is over.
You think the Star will survive in some form?
In some form, the Citizen survives in some form, right?
Which we are pleased with, because
sure,
our show is carried on the Citizen.com.
Right, and so is Espresso Pundit. The Citizen is essentially a blog. They've got somebody who aggregates a whole bunch of different sources and calls it the Citizen so that the name can remain, but it's not in any sense a newspaper. And the Scottsdale Progress is gone, and the Phoenix Gazette is gone, and the East Valley Tribune is gone. And so we're left essentially with the Star and with the Republic. No, I don't think the Star will be around for a long time. I questioned whether it would cover the 2012 elections. This bankruptcy might get them past 2012, but no, they'll go away. One of the reasons is that groups like the Star choose to talk about civility, and they lecture bloggers especially on civility, and yet they've got Fitzsimmons, who's just screeds are against Republicans and even some moderate Democrats, and that turns off readers. Tucson is a diverse community. I'm from Tucson. I was raised there. Went to, you know, Catalina High School and the U of A and Whitmore Elementary School. And so I understand the area fairly well. And any time that you just choose half of the audience, you're only going to cater to liberals, then you're going to lose half of your audience. And the Star is paying for that.
Greg Patterson is with us. He is the author of The Expresso Pundit. Let's talk a little bit about the upcoming elections in 2012. U.S. Senate race. Senator Flake, of course, is going for that. And Will Cardin, who will be on this program next week. How do you see the Republican race? And then what about Dr. Richard Carmona on the Democratic side?
Well, the Republican race, I think, goes to Flake. He's got a lot of name recognition. Cardin's base is in Mesa, is the same as Flake's base, and I frankly am not sure that Cardin could have beat Flake in his own district, despite the fact that it's both of their base. So I don't think that Cardin can win outside of the district. And Flake is going to have the money. He's got the momentum. He's got name recognition. I think Flake wins that by double digits. I wouldn't be surprised if Cardin's not even on the ballot by the end of the year. When it comes to the Carmona is a great example of the fact that the Democrats in Arizona have no bench, right? They have no farm team. They had to pick somebody who is a registered independent who was a member of the Bush administration. And so it kind of shows, interestingly enough, Don Bivens is in that race as well, and he's a former chairman of the Democratic Party. And Paul Ekstrom, who's from Pima County, came up and decided on the way to the convention in Phoenix he was going to run against Bivens and defeated him without doing any prep. And then Paul later decided it was too much work, and so he resigned and Bivens came back. And
yeah, Paul Ekstrom, a regular contributor to our program here.
Sure, and so I think it shows that at the moment the Democratic Party has no bench. They couldn't actually find a Democrat to run.
Greg Patterson, quickly running out of time, the big guessing game, of course, continues to be the congressional race of Gabrielle Giffords. Any feeling on that or any thoughts?
Well,
is she going to run?
She can have that seat as long as she wants that seat. There's no question. The Republicans would support her. I would support her. Anybody who ran against her, I think, from either party would be ostracized. So she can have that seat as long as she wants that seat. Her sacrifice has been incredible, and the struggle that she has made and the courage that she has shown has demonstrated just to everybody what kind of character she has. And so everybody admires her for that. Now, the question is, what does she decide to do? It is in her best interest, and she needs to make that decision, and folks are going to support her on that. She said on the ABC program that she's not going to do this until she feels better. I don't know what her definition of that is, but I think the progress she has made has been nothing short of miraculous, and everybody wishes her the best and says that whatever she wants to do, she can certainly do.
Okay, Greg Patterson, thank you very much for being with us. ExpressoPundit.com, and we'll look for your stories. Thanks, Greg.
Outstanding. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking now money coming up here, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with Shelley Fishman. He is in the building, and we'll be talking to him next on the Buckmaster Show.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And the man himself is here, Shelley Fishman. And I don't know, Shelley, if you've got that crystal ball, I sure want one of them.
No, not for sale, not for sale.
The last few years, this guy, Shelley Fishman, has been remarkably accurate on how the Dow would wind up for the year. He's got, this is his third year of, well, he, 2 years in a row, you were right on.
Very close.
Very close. Yeah. And now,
margin of error.
A week ago, you've picked 6% the Dow to be on the upside, and when we were here a week ago with your Tuesday money market report, money maker report, we didn't know that the market was going to have such a great week. You're getting very close to that 6%.
Yeah, I'm thinking that 6% is going to be as close as you can get a year off. It was a good prediction, and I think it reflects the fundamentals now. You know, given what's going on in Europe, anything can happen. But December, you know, tends to be a fairly positive month historically, and you know, sometimes get a pullback in the last week. But I'm thinking 12.4, 12.5.
I think investors sometimes want to throw up their hands and say, maybe I need to go back to school and get a degree in economics.
Wow, that's a great point, Bill. You know, it used to be you could do fundamental research on stocks or you could do technical research. The difference is technical research takes a look at the movement of stocks and the historical thing and just makes predictions based upon the movement of the stock market. Fundamental research is where you go into each individual company that you might want to invest in and do research about that company. But right now, I don't think any of that works because the world has become so totally integrated economically that you really have to understand what's going on both in the emerging markets economically and in Europe economically to get some concept of where our markets are going, where our equity markets are going. I was reading this morning in Bloomberg Business Week, which has become this very densely packed weekly magazine about
Business Week.
Business Week. It's now Bloomberg Business Week. It's owned by guess who?
Oh,
By guess whom? It is just more than you can read in a week. It's just, you know, you must have an army of writers writing all of this stuff. And there was a rather elongated article about Germany and Angela Merkel and her economic, macroeconomic basis for her thinking and also where she comes from. It was brilliantly written, but I'm sitting there thinking to myself, my God, this is tough stuff. How could the average investor possibly understand the difference between, for instance, the kind of progressive liberal thinking we look at here in the United States versus market theory versus the kind of progressive or liberalism that the Germans are looking toward versus the French or the Italians. I mean, they're so very different at their core, and yet that's what's driving decisions in Europe today. Why Merkel is really trying to postpone the hard decisions that need to be made and get it fixed at its core, as opposed to just continuing to put bandages on the problem.
Approach.
And understanding the academic basis behind that, I'm thinking to myself, my God, an investor today who wants to do it him or herself has to be an economist rather than just somebody who specializes in either the markets or the companies that they invest in.
So an investor really needs to – I don't even know if an investor has the time it takes.
Well, you have to do it full time.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be your specialty. And even then, you're guessing because so much of what influences the markets here in the U.S. is coming from overseas, either from emerging markets like China, Brazil, India, et cetera, or Europe, which is our largest trading partner.
Not only have you been very accurate on the year-end Dow Jones, you also had made a prediction, I think, about a year ago on the unemployment rate.
And, you know, I've got the tapes to prove it.
What were you saying, 8.5% for
said,
the year?
I said, you know, mid-8s. I said,
by
I thought
the end of the
come
year?
Down, you know, to
and
about
where were we 12 months ago when you made that prediction?
9.1.
Okay. So you were banking on in what has turned out to be a very slow recovery.
Right. I thought that the unemployment problem would continue to plague us for a while. I still do.
Getting back to the investor, when they choose a certified financial planner like yourself, what are some of the credentials they should be looking for?
Well, they should certainly look for the CFP credential. That I think is
That's
very important.
That's a good starting point.
It's a great starting point. After that, I think the most important thing is to take a look at the broker-dealer, the company that financial planner is allied with, to make sure that there's adequate research and access to the best thinking that goes on worldwide in terms of where the markets are going. And then most importantly, it's the relationship because, you know, we joke about my crystal ball, and I've been lucky for a couple of years. But no financial advisor is going to be right every year. What you really need to be doing is allying yourself with your clients in such a way that it really is a partnership, and that partnership can zig and zag as it needs to.
And every year you're going to have different adjustments that need to be
absolutely.
Made.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, just like the quarterback on a football
sure.
team, you sometimes have to call an audible at the line of scrimmage.
Absolutely. But also understand if that advisor feels comfortable with your predilection for either aggressive, moderate, or conservative investing. You know, for me to have a 20 or a 25-year-old who wants to be very aggressive in the market using me as an advisor, there are probably more appropriate advisors for that person. But for somebody in their 50s or 60s who feels a lot more conservative in terms of how they'd like to see their money invested, I'm a good match. So really, not only is it the personal relationship, but making sure you understand that advisor's specialty and where that advisor is coming from, just in terms of what they do every day in the market.
What would you say your specialty is?
Well, I think it's conservative investing for people at or near retirement.
Mm-hmm. That would be your ideal demographic that you work with.
That's the client that I do the best with, and who feels long term the most comfortable with me.
Long term, how are we when we talk long term? What does 2012 look like for you?
Well, I'm going to make it a carbon copy of 2011. I'm going to say 6% on the Dow, so we're going to be up at around 13.1, 13.2, maybe a little bit higher than that. And I see unemployment down at 8.
Again, a very, very slow recovery.
Very slow. Now, 6% on the Dow that says that equities are going to go up, you know, very conservatively. Therefore, my question is, if you can get similar returns from fixed income, from bonds and bond funds, you should look very carefully at that.
Where can people find you?
795-7950 or www.shellyfishman.com.
And Pyramid Credit Union.
Yes.
Shelley Fishman, thanks. A pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great week.
You too.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Obama administration has decided to use foreign aid as a tool to promote rights for homosexuals around the world. A suicide bomber struck a crowd of Shiite worshipers at a mosque in Kabul, Afghanistan today. At least 58 people are dead. A judge in Chicago says former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was clearly the ringleader of the corruption schemes for which he was convicted. A Tennessee couple has lost everything after their home burned to the ground as firefighters stood by and did nothing. The firefighters didn't put out the blaze because the homeowners don't subscribe to the local fire service. Updating Wall Street, the Dow is up about 59 points. The NASDAQ is down 10. The S&P trading 1 point higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and 5th Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. If you would like to join in the conversation, you are always welcome. 790-2040, 790-2040. Well, Connie, a 44-year-old Asian elephant, and Shaba, a 31-year-old African elephant, have been pals at Tucson's Reed Park Zoo for 29 years. Now the zoo has decided to split the elephants up, with Connie moving to the San Diego Zoo to receive geriatric care and be with other Asian elephants. In return, a couple of Asian elephants will be coming to live with Shaba in the zoo's new 7-acre exhibit. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Susan Bassford, the administrator for the Reed Park Zoo. Susan, good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
This has been a very challenging year for the zoo, hasn't it?
It has been. We've had some difficult times this year, but also some successes. And certainly the construction of this new exhibit is one of the most exciting things that we've done as long as I've been here.
Tell us about the decision to separate the elephants.
You know, there wasn't a moment when that decision was made, and I will tell you certainly that it was not made lightly. 5 or 6 years ago, when there was controversy about the elephants and should we build a new exhibit, we felt then that Connie and Shaba should stay together. But as with so many things, there has been a lot of change in 5 or 6 years. And certainly our professional institution or our professional organization has made some pretty strong suggestions that the two species of elephants should not stay together in herd situations, but also that it's essential that those animals live in larger groups than two. Two does not a herd make. So we worked with our partners at the San Diego Zoo, and we also our other partners in zoos across the country, and came up with a plan for Connie to go to the San Diego Zoo Elephant Odyssey, which is a $40 million elephant exhibit designed specifically for aging Asian elephants. We're excited about the opportunity to introduce her to a herd of Asian elephants, her own kind, that
kind
she
of
hasn't
a
been with.
Continuing care.
Exactly. Exactly.
Development for elephants.
And, you know, she hasn't been with Asian elephants. I think it's going to be an incredible opportunity for her.
And now on the other side of the coin now with Shaba, how many elephants will be joining Shaba?
Well, we're not exactly sure which elephants just yet, because we don't have a completion date for our construction project. But we're anticipating two females and youngsters and a male. So we'll have four adults and one or possibly two youngsters on the ground in the new exhibit. What's cool about that, and really the first time ever, is that the San Diego Zoo has been so successful in breeding African elephants that they now have a herd that they need to split up. And for the first time, females, adult females, and their youngsters will be traveling together to start a new herd.
This decision has really split the community, not only splitting the elephants, but it's really split the community, and I'm sure a lot of your members not happy with it. What do you tell people about this decision who aren't happy?
You know, we tell them that we have had years and years of working with elephants and exotic animals, and that we've worked with our colleagues in terms of sort of scientific decisions, what's best for the species, what's best for these individuals. But at the same time, we've also worked closely with our staff. And I have a zookeeper that's worked with these animals for 30 years, 29 years, and she thinks this is the right thing to do. There is no one that cares more about those specific animals than she does. And if she's comfortable with it, then, you know, I'm sorry that people are upset. I feel badly about it. But I think it's the right thing to do.
What is the latest on the exhibit? How is it going?
Oh, my gosh. It's beautiful. We have grass growing out there now, so that's exciting to me.
The rain will help, right?
The rain will help. We expect that exhibit to be completed toward the end of mid to end of January. We will be moving elephants in shortly after that and hopefully opening in March.
And then there are those who say that elephants don't even belong in zoos. What do you say to those people?
I say, what makes you care about an elephant? What makes you care about endangered species if not seeing it in person? My favorite quote ever was from a woman that came to the zoo with her two young children. And she said, "My kids didn't believe elephants were real until they saw Connie and Chaba." That spoke to me. And how important is that?
As an education tool, certainly.
Absolutely.
For the young people. 790-2040, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. You had your big kickoff for the holidays at the zoo.
We did. We've opened zoo lights again this year. The first weekend was rather nasty in terms of weather, but it will be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights until the 15th of December, and then every night through the 23rd. From 6 till 8 p.m., and it is beautiful.
You know, I mentioned it's been a challenging year. Certainly everyone has heard or read about the situation with the giraffe and the oleanders. That mm-hmm. was a terribly unfortunate incident. But how is the surviving giraffe doing?
You know what? She's doing fine. She is an older giraffe, but she is out on the platform eating from guests as they participate in our giraffe encounter, and she's doing very well. Thank you.
Are there plans for a second giraffe?
Well, we actually have
three
in the exhibit right now, and we are looking for a male giraffe to pair up with
our
young
female.
Yeah,
I knew you were searching for another giraffe,
right.
So that would bring to four for the giraffes.
Uh-huh.
And if you haven't been out to the Reed Park Zoo, those cubs, the lion cubs, are amazing. They're in that playful stage, aren't they?
Oh, my gosh. They're the cutest things ever. People come on a regular basis. If you look at our Facebook page, people are always posting photographs of those cubs, and they're adorable. They're so photogenic. Last Friday in the rain, they were rolling around in the mud and had a whole different look to them.
Very cute indeed. The decision has been made now about this separation. So what is the timetable getting back to the elephants?
Actually, we are having, you can imagine the size of a crate that it takes to move an elephant.
I was just going to say, what are the travel plans now for Connie to take up new residency at the San Diego Zoo?
Well, we're actually having a crate delivered later this week. We will move it into position, and she'll learn to walk into it and be comfortable in it. So really, part of the timetable depends on her, how quickly she becomes accustomed to that. We want her to be absolutely comfortable. All our training is done with positive reinforcement, so there'll be lots of food rewards involved with that. And then she will leave on a truck to go to San Diego.
And she'll be with, you say, a continuing care home for Asian elephants. How many Asian elephants will she be joining over there?
She'll be with six.
Six.
And the nice thing about it is that we've got two zookeepers, long, long time zookeepers that have worked with our elephants practically forever, who have just retired, and we will be, with the support of the Zoological Society, sending them with Connie so that she will have, you know, comforting voices, familiar faces with her again until she's comfortable in her new situation.
Had an email question. Are the winter visitors an up season for you, an uptick in the visitor count?
Yes, absolutely. Winters are busy season, unlike zoos on the East Coast where I'm from. Summer is, as you might guess, pretty deadly at the zoo. It's so, so quiet. But winter, we're great.
How is the zoo doing financially?
You know, we're doing fine. We're supported from the city, so our budget is the same as it has been. Certainly no increases, sadly, but we're doing well, and our attendance is doing very well as well.
Are zoos doing fairly well across the country?
I think so. For the first couple years of the recession, zoos' attendance went up, I think because it's a fairly inexpensive way to spend an afternoon with your family. Our attendance is staying about level with that, you know, slight increase from a couple years ago.
Zoos were born, I believe, in the 19th century, and they've had to evolve certainly into an area where we're dealing with endangered species in
That's
many
correct.
Cases.
That's yeah. correct. And you know, we work together. There's an organization called the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. It's our professional organization. But it facilitates us working together to create situations for endangered species where we can allow breeding to occur and find homes for those, the offspring that result.
Okay, Susan Bassford, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. If folks would like to come out over the holidays, do you have special hours? Or?
Absolutely. Our Zoo Lights hours are from 6 to 8 p.m. each night, and it costs $5 for adults and $3 for children. So please come out and see the Zoo Lights, and good heavens, come out during the day and see those cubs.
Thank you very much, Susan. Have a great holiday season.
Thank you.
It's the Buckmaster Show at 12:45. We'll be talking about the Civic Orchestra of Tucson. That's coming up. Stay with us.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock.
For what it's worth.
For what? What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson. It's 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show. We are on a Tuesday afternoon. We are live Monday through Friday here on the Buckmaster Show on our home station, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. 770-2040 if you have any questions. We'll be turning our attention now to the very busy time of year for the arts organizations, and in particular the Civic Orchestra of Tucson, which has a holiday pops concert coming up on December the 12th. They will also be providing the music on December the 18th for Dancing in the Streets, the production of The Nutcracker at the Fox Theater. That's going to be on December the 18th at 3 in the afternoon. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Herschel Kreloff, the conductor of the COT and the orchestra's general manager and the principal bass player, Alicia Nichols, is with us. Alicia, thanks. And Doctor, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the Civic Orchestra of Tucson, Alicia.
Well, the Civic Orchestra is now going into its 36th year. We play generally free concerts for the public with a couple benefit concerts, which we used to promote our organization, but also to gain some funds so that we can keep playing these free concerts for the public. We're very proud of this mission statement that we've been able to stay true to.
And Dr. Kreloff, your history with the Civic Orchestra.
Well, I started 30 years ago when the orchestra was quite small, and at the very first rehearsal, I recall very definitely, in spite of the fact the numbers were small, I just had a great time. Everybody was so interested in playing, and so I decided, yeah, I'm going to come back and continue doing it. And so little by little, we built up the numbers, and I think we now are a full symphony orchestra, and we play all the basic literature with the possible exception of the big scores of Strauss and Mahler and things like that, which take so many players.
What about the holiday coming up here, the Holiday Pops concert? Doctor, you're very excited about that.
Yeah, this is a part of our outreach to the children in the community. And this concert is going to be held at Marana Middle School. And one of our teachers, one of our players who was a teacher out there, requested that we do this. We did this sort of thing a year ago, and he thought it would be good to do it again at his school. So he is going to conduct his students plus the orchestra all together at the same time in two numbers, and then I will open the concert with a medley of Christmas music, and then after his group plays the two numbers, that is our combined groups play those two numbers, I'll conduct three or four pieces, and we'll end with several pieces from the ballet, from the Nutcracker Ballet.
22 of the 7th and 8th graders auditioned, I understand. They must be very excited, the kids that were selected.
Well, the intention was to give these kids an opportunity to play with, you know, adult players and sit in a real big orchestra, a full orchestra, and have that experience. And it's a terrific experience.
What about you, Alicia? Did you have experience as a kid in something like that?
Absolutely. In fact, with the Tucson Philharmonia Youth Orchestra, I did have a chance to sit in with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. And my teacher at the time, Jim Carr, was sitting right in front of me when I got to sit with the orchestra in the Centennial Hall, I believe it was. Absolutely thrilling experience, and I know these kids are going to enjoy it just as much so, and it'll be something they remember for the rest of their lives.
What do you like about the Civic Orchestra of Tucson, Alicia? Do you like the idea that this is very accessible to the public, that your events are free?
Absolutely. It's such a jewel. I didn't even know it existed until a couple years ago, and I've lived here since 1982.
It is rather below the radar screen.
Unfortunately.
And that's why I'm glad we are able to at least give you some exposure here. And so the situation is, with this orchestra, you feel like you're kind of maybe the people's orchestra?
Oh, indeed. Absolutely.
You think the same way about that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely, yeah.
What about your own background, Dr. Kreloff?
Well, I was born in Chicago, and I grew up there. I came to Arizona originally to play the trumpet in the ASU band, and I got a degree from ASU. And I also played in the symphony there. And then when I came here for graduate work, they needed a trumpet player, so they finally got a hold of me. I didn't have a phone at the time, and so they had a difficult time reaching me. But they finally got a hold of me, and so I went to the first rehearsal. Didn't play a note that first rehearsal, but then I stayed in the orchestra for several years. And then I was teaching at TUSD, so I taught altogether about 27 years, both in Phoenix and in here. And then I started conducting the the orchestra.
Are these citizen musicians? Basically, they hold other jobs. They have day jobs.
Some of them have day jobs.
Are they, some of them, just full-time professional musicians?
No, I don't think there's any full-time professional musicians, but some of them have day jobs. There are retired people. There are, you know, housewives, parents who have, they have other things to do a lot of times, and so we all have a certain leeway for attendance and tardiness and this sort of thing.
How about auditions, Alicia, if someone is interested in auditioning with the Civic Orchestra of Tucson?
Well, they can contact me, but I will simply direct them straight to Dr. Kreloff, where he can interview them and audition them as well.
How do people get more information? Do you have a website?
We do, absolutely. It's www.cot, as in Civic Orchestra of Tucson, music.org.
In your particular, you do what, 5 or 6 concerts, Dr. Kreloff, a year, and do you go to different venues?
Yes.
And that's challenging, isn't it, for you?
It's extremely.
I mean, you're going to be performing at the Fox Theater on December 18th. You're going to be at a middle school auditorium. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the acoustics could be a challenge.
Yeah, the acoustics are always a challenge, and every time we play at a different place, the orchestra, the members of the orchestra hear things differently. Sometimes they complain they cannot hear the other side of the stage. And the other times, I think it sounds really very well. We played out at Sarita this last time, and I thought the acoustics were quite good there. And then we played at a church in Tucson the following day, and I ended up almost hard of hearing in this ear because
oh, wow.
Yeah, it really bothered me. So, so that's a problem. Every place we play, we manage to accommodate ourselves and accommodate it, and so this has not really been a serious problem. It's a small problem, really.
We should point out that the December 12th concert at Marana Middle School. Alicia, you want to give us some of the details? I didn't give the time for that event.
Oh, sure. That'll be 7:30 p.m., and we would recommend getting there a little early, even though we do have a good amount of seats. This will be a very popular concert, and parents will be coming from about an hour away, possibly, in some cases, to join us. So, yes, 7:30 p.m. at December 12th, and arrive early and maybe even buy a raffle ticket for our hand-knitted basket of dolls that we have from Ben Butte's wife, who's our percussionist. His name is Sheila Butte, and she made these beautiful dolls that we'll be raffling as well. For a dollar a ticket.
Has the Tucson musical community been very warm to you and your colleagues, Alicia?
I believe so.
And welcoming?
Yeah. Even more so. We're outreaching a lot this year, and we have now expanded our bass section from 1 to 4 within this season already. Our bass players include one with a master's degree in performance, one with a bachelor's in performance, and all the way through our last chair, we're just simply outstanding musicians, which is always a good sign when you have good musicians that are excited to join.
We haven't talked about the size of the orchestra. How many members do you have?
60 plus.
Yeah, it's about 60, give or take, depending upon what the score is called for.
And is that about where you would like it to be, Dr. Kreloff?
It's pretty close to where I would like it to be. We could use maybe 3 or 4 more string players. But we've got a full complement of winds, and basically we're in really good shape in terms of personnel.
What specialty would you say that the orchestra really excels at? Is there a particular some pieces of music that you really like?
We play the romantic literature. Basically, that works well for an orchestra like ours. Dvorak, for example, is very very fitted to an orchestra like ours. It just seems to work very well. We can't go too far with the romantic, like some of the Mahler scores or Strauss. You know, this is really very difficult music. So if we had all year to practice on it, probably would do a good job on that sort of thing. But, yeah, we do that sort of thing. But also the orchestra is very versatile. We can play pops music.
As you will be doing at the Marana Middle School, 7:30 in the evening. The Holiday Pops concert will be on December the 12th, and then the Dancing in the Street production of The Nutcracker, that will be coming up December the 18th at 3 o'clock. Alicia Nichols, General Manager, Principal Bass Player, good luck to you. And Dr. Herschel Kreloff, the conductor of the COT for the past 30 years, good luck to both of you. Have a great holiday
season.
Thanks. Thank you.
That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. And that's going to wrap it up today for the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow, State Senator Linda Lopez. She is the minority whip in the State Senate of Arizona. Richard White of the Red Cross will be joining us, a challenging time of year for the Red Cross. Then John Meek, he's a historian and author, will be remembering the 70th anniversary of the attack by the Japanese on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, tomorrow. That's coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.